Hitler, if you think we're on the run. Welcome to a special edition of the Dad's Army podcast. This podcast will be slightly different to the previous episodes broadcast so far, primarily because it will consist almost solely of an interview. I mean, Tony and I will have a brief chat about it after we've played it. But it's with Ed O'Driscoll, who is the Managing Director of Calibre Productions. Calibre are the theatre production company who are bringing Dad's Army back to the stage. And this autumn, I think they're beginning to tour in September. Before we move into the interview with Ed, I need to point out that in a previous episode, I mentioned that the tour was only scheduled to play for one night at each venue they're playing. That's not true. In fact, it's complete rubbish. They're playing, I think, on average around about five or six evenings in each venue. You can find where they're playing either from our website, which is www.dadsarmy.podomatic.com, or you can go directly onto Calibre Productions website, which is probably the best place to find all the latest information concerning the play. And their website, again, you can get onto that by clicking on the link from our website. Secondly, the first 2 minutes of this interview, there's a little bit of interference. Now, it's not incredibly distracting, but you can hear a telephone bleeping away in the background. Now, as I said, this is completely my fault, and it's not particularly noisy, but it was enough for me to notice when I was listening to the playback. It does only last for the first 2 minutes of the interview. Having made those points, then I'll waste no more of your time by waffling on, and we'll go straight into the interview with it.
But he comes home each evening and he's ready with his gun. So do you think?
I'm joined now by Ed O'Driscoll, the producer of the new Dad's Army stage play and also the managing director of Calibre Productions, the production company bringing Dad's Army back to the stage. Hello, Ed. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Delighted to be here.
Great. Perhaps we can start just by asking you how the stage play came about. How did it originate?
Well, obviously, the episodes have existed in script form, as I'm sure your listeners know, for many years now. What they may not be aware is that there was an amateur production in Tring back in 2005. Mm-hmm. A company there approached Jimmy and David and asked them if they would be prepared to let them stage three of the episodes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the writers had reserved the original stage rights. They gave them permission, and Frenchies put the episodes into a script that was made available for amateur companies to perform. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm one of those producers that sort of trawls through the Frenchies catalogue from time to time to see what's available and what's out there, and I noticed these have been made available. Mm-hmm. And also noticed that they hadn't been done by a professional company, so I approached them at that stage.
I see. Have the scripts that you're adapting changed at all from that production that was produced in Tring at all?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're not doing the episodes that they did in Tring for a start.
Oh, right, okay.
They did the Godiva Fair, Mum's Army,
and
the Deadly Attachment. We're doing the Deadly Attachment, as I know you mentioned in an earlier podcast. Mm. But we're also staging the last two remaining lost episodes, Strike for Fraser and Loneliness of Long Distance Walker.
Sure. Okay. Was it a particularly difficult choice to select those episodes, or was the fact that they were lost and haven't been seen in any visual format for several years a major factor for you?
Well, I think it wasn't originally going to be. We weren't originally going to do the lost episodes, and we weren't originally going to stage the ones that necessarily had been done in Tring. Mm-hmm. But I had long chats with both David and Jimmy, just talking about, you know, how it would work. They'd been to see the productions and how they felt a professional production would work. Mm-hmm. And we began to talk about the lost episodes, and David and Jimmy both said that they felt especially loneliness of Long Distance was one of the real gems that they felt was lost.
No, it was. I mean, both those episodes are fantastic. I mean, speaking from a personal point of view, I think maybe it's because they're such early episodes, but they are some of my favourites, and I have to admit I am really looking forward to seeing them visually rather than just listening to the radio shows, which of course are excellent. In terms of actually how you've gone about casting for the roles, obviously you've got Leslie Grantham in the role of Walker.
Yes.
Was it particularly difficult to try and pinpoint individuals? I mean, did you go for sound-alikes or look-alikes or just people who can impersonate famous people?
None of the above is the answer. I don't mean to be difficult, but what we were trying to capture was some of the, what we hope we are going to capture is some of the warmth of the series, and the if we get 1% of that feeling that the audience has for the originals, then we'll have achieved a hell of a lot. That's how I feel about it. And it has transpired that many of the cast have a passing resemblance to. Purely, actually, through necessity. I mean, we couldn't have had a 6'8" Mannering and a 5'3" Pike.
No, it would have been slightly different from the original.
Absolutely. And Peter has the physicality of Arthur Lowe.
Sure.
But he will bring a very, all of his skills to bear on what, and he is a considerable actor. He's going to create a very interesting part, as is Leslie. And we've got some other great actors as well. David Warwick's playing Wilson.
Oh, right, okay.
Kieran Falconer's playing Fraser. Richard Tate's playing Jones. Brian Jackson, who was the original man from Del Monte, is playing the part of Godfrey.
Oh, fantastic. No, I wasn't aware of that, I have to admit. I thought the only two that had been announced were those that were on your website. So that's terrific.
Those are the... you're getting a first here.
Well, this is it then, listen. This is an exclusive.
It's an exclusive. We've announced the names that the general public would be more aware of, which are obviously Peter and Leslie, and they're on the publicity.
Sure.
But there's a full cast, and we've got some lovely actors, some great actors, who are all very excited about the prospect of putting this on the stage.
Oh, I'm sure. That's absolutely superb. I mean, was casting particularly difficult for each of these roles, given that you've already got an absolute cast in stone portrayal of these characters set in what will be your audience's mind?
Yes. Mm. Yeah, quite frank, it's been very difficult. Mm. And it's... going to the readings and listening to the people, the people that have auditioned, you get a feeling straight away as to how they're going to be able to cope with the role. But I'm delighted. It's been worth all of the days, weeks of effort to find the right people. The agents have whittled down a lot. We've got a great casting director, Sally Vaughan, who spent a lot of time meeting the actors and speaking to the actors and filtering through the people before we've actually gone to auditions. And then we've had a series of major auditions in town before we've made our final decisions. And it's been a very popular choice. Many actors want to play the roles.
Oh, it's superb. As I said, it's very much a time-honoured classic in so many people's minds. And presumably it's a massive task to bring something that was in its day so, so popular, and even now has got something resembling a cult following, even 30 years after the last episode was broadcast. Presumably you were quite aware of the responsibility, and you must have been a little bit daunted, presumably, at the prospect of getting this absolutely spot-on perfect.
We're playing with the crown jewels of comedy.
Yeah.
We have to be very careful how we tread. Mm. And we're doing this because we have respect, admiration, love for the original series, and we feel that we can add something to the canon, a stage version that, will be obviously different, but that hopefully, ardent fans and general public alike will enjoy and come out having had a great theatrical experience.
I'm sure that would be great. I mean, when the play was first announced a few months ago now, I mean, the news items ran in practically every national daily. I mean, were you surprised at the level of media coverage that you received?
It was great. There was a mad week where we were everywhere. The wire was alive with the Dead Army, and I'm hoping that we'll get a bit more of that over the time as well when we start to put out the pictures of the new cast in uniform. That'll be quite interesting again.
No, I'm sure. I mean, it's any kind of major classic that's brought back seems to come with a massive fanfare. I mean, you look at something. I mean, it's not really a comparison, but Doctor Who was recovered or resurrected after so many years, and it's come back bigger and better and more popular than it ever was. I mean, that's on TV clearly. But again, the kind of reception it seems to be getting from the fan community is very similar. It's incredibly enthusiastic. I mean, there's very few voices that are actually voicing any real concern over whether or not we can actually remain true to the spirit.
Yeah, I think those people that do voice concern do so quite rightly. And those are concerns that we are very much aware of here and are bearing in mind in all of our plans. Mm. That we've got a great opportunity to do something very special with some marvellous writing. I mean, both Jimmy and David are coming along to rehearsals, and they're going to come along to the opening night, obviously, as well, mm-hmm. As our guests. And they're very excited at the prospect of seeing it on stage. And we're that to them as well. You know, we want to do our best by this production.
Hmm. I mean, that was one of my other questions, which you've touched on briefly, is how much Perry and Croft have been involved in this. But clearly it sounds like they've been involved right from the outset.
I mean, they've been involved certainly in terms of advice to me. They've been great as sort of mentors to ask and bounce ideas off. And they've been very helpful with publicity when the news broke. They've done loads of interviews for us, and you know, they're going to continue to be very much in touch. And will be, you know, as I say, coming on to rehearsals and the opening, and we're greatly looking forward to any comments and help they can offer.
No, it's terrific to get such stalwarts of British comedy as such major supporters of it. I mean, obviously it was their creation originally, but I think it's fantastic they've been involved and so vocal. And I'm looking forward to hearing what they think of the play when they've seen it actually go out after the opening
evening.
I'm sure. Just lastly, really, then Ed, moving off the actual production itself. I mean, it sounds like you're very passionate about the series. I mean, have you been a fan of Dad's Army for many years?
I remember when I was about 6 or 7, mm-hmm. I used to play the Dad's Army board game with my sister. Do you remember that?
I do indeed. Well, I don't remember it. I'd like to think that I'm too young for that. I've certainly seen it, yeah.
We used to collect the cards. I mean, so, you know, it goes... I mean, I'm 37, 38. So, you know, it was the comedy that I grew up with on a Saturday night.
Sure.
But there were repeats in it even then, a lot of them. But I remember
indeed.
Very, very early days.
Did you have a particular favourite character or an episode?
Favourite character.
Hard, isn't it?
I think Fraser was such a strong character.
Yes.
I don't know. Just the we're doomed. Shouldn't be saying that, should I? It's on a wonderful.
Well, I think it's quite understood that all of these characters are fantastic. I mean, Perry and Croft have said it themselves. It's so rarely a production that's been put into place with 7 lead characters, all with clearly established characters, and they're very different from each other. So I love all of them. But I have to say, I think I'd agree with you. I think it's a toss-up for me between Pike or Fraser as to who are my favourite characters, and I think they're.
I'm keeping an open mind. I think they're all marvellous inventions. The sum is greater than the parts.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you very much indeed for spending the time giving the interview, Ed. Very much appreciated. And perhaps we can speak to you at another point later on, closer to the launch date.
And I hope your listeners enjoy the show.
Thanks very much, Ed.
Thank you. So do you think you are giving Mr. Hitler if you think only.
I hope you enjoyed that interview there with Ed. It's certainly given us a lot of information there, Tony, for us to discuss.
Yeah, a really interesting interview. I think you tried to make him feel old at one point.
Do you know, I felt so bad about that at the time. Because and then I couldn't bring myself to either laugh or say, would you like to re-record that part? Because we were virtually completed the interview, but it made it sound like I was just assuming I was younger than everybody involved. I thought that made me sound very rude.
But it was. You mentioned the board game, and I just got that for my birthday recently.
Oh really?
So when you talk about the board game, or he talks about the board game, played it as a kid. I've got it. It's quite good.
I've seen it. I definitely have seen it. I wasn't lying to him, but. I couldn't remember it now, so it's good that he does remember it. One of the things that I thought that little anecdote that he gave us demonstrated was how keen and how passionate he is about the play. And I thought it was a really good interview for someone who's extremely amateur interviewer. He made it very easy, and of course he gave us some great news about the casting, which I believe are exclusives. I haven't found the information anywhere else. And he did say in the interview that we were the first to get that information. So shall we just go through each of those characters or each of the actors? Sorry,
yes,
who he mentioned? Yeah.
Yes.
The actor who plays Wilson, or is going to be playing Wilson, is David Warwick, who's quite a well-established actor. He's been in many, many things. He's been in Z Cars, the original series of Doctor Who, and also the most recent series of Doctor Who. He was in the 2006 series.
Okay.
Yes, Minister. And also The Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin, which I believe you've seen a couple of episodes of, Tony.
Yes, I like both that and Yes Minister. I think from someone being in both of those, I think I probably can picture who it is.
Oh, really? Oh, I have to admit, I'm being quite honest here. I can't picture him at all. I'm not sure who he is. But I know from his filmography, if that's the right word, that he's been in many, many very successful programmes. Moving on, the role of Godfrey has been taken by Brian Jackson, the original man from Del Monte, according to Ed. That was it Oranges, Tony?
It was Del Monte Oranges, I believe. I can't remember if it was Oranges or Orange Juice. I think it's Orange Juice, because the man from Del Monte arrives in his helicopter, and eventually, I think he says no on a couple of occasions. Eventually, he does arrive and he says yes, and there's a bit of a celebration in the farm when the man from Del Monte says yes. Classic bit of advertising. I think most people remember that.
Well, I've definitely heard of it. I don't remember watching it. Not too sure about that. But yes, I've certainly heard of the man from Del Monte. He say no, or he says yes, or whatever. he was also in Carry On Sergeant in 1958, a long, long time ago. I think as a minor part. He's also been in Zed Cars, The Persuaders, The Secret Army. And he's also starring in a new production that has yet to be broadcast called Cash and Curry, and that's currently in post-production at the moment. Moving on to the character of Jones, we've got an actor called Richard Tate playing him, and again, I haven't heard of Richard, but he's starred in many very well-known programmes, including Zed Cars once again. There seems to be a underlying theme here. Holby City recently, the Doctors series, Mersey Beat, Perfect Strangers. Anything here that rings a bell with you, Tony?
I'm not very familiar with these actors, if I'm honest.
No, that's fine. me neither. Yeah, Lizzie Grantham and Peter Martin, as Ed said, are the two most well-known actors. I think Royal Family and EastEnders, respectively, for those two actors. Other things that he mentioned, or that Ed mentioned during the interview, that I found interesting, aside from my insulting, or sounded like I was insulting the age, or expecting everybody who was listening to be old, I think the episode selection was interesting here, the way that he talked about the production in Tring. And the way they selected three episodes, they did do the Deadly Attachment, but they also did the Godiva Affair and Mum's Army. And interesting how it sounds like Jimmy Perry and David Croft influenced the decision as to which episodes that they produced for this stage production.
Why do you think they've chosen these three? And I just mentioned Strike for Fraser, Loneliness of the Long Distance Walker, and Deadly Attachment. If you just say why the first two, Loneliness and Strike for Fraser?
Oh well, the obvious answer I think is because they're lost. But I mean, he didn't say that was a particularly persuading factor in his choice. He mentioned that Jimmy Perry and David Croft believed Loneliness of a Long Distance Walker was a particular gem that was lost.
Yes.
And so perhaps that had something to do with it. I mean, they're both very character based. Strike for Fraser centres on Fraser, and and The Loneliness of a Long Distance Walker focuses on Walker. So I think perhaps it may be a recognition that those stories are actually probably better at putting onto stage rather than episodes that just concentrate on the group of individuals or group of characters. Deadly Attachment, I think they probably chose that because it's iconic. You know, the Don't Tell Him Pike line is absolutely incredibly renowned, and probably just the most well-known episode, I think. So,
yeah.
Was there anything else, sir? Anything else that you picked up on that you found interesting?
Just one of his comments where he said, "We're playing with the crown jewels of comedy, and we therefore have to tread very carefully." And I just thought, yeah, absolutely right. They are the crown jewels of comedy, and I think it's good to hear that they're going to take it seriously, if you can take comedy seriously.
Yeah, I think you can, and it's because, I mean, something I mentioned in the interview, it's it's seen as such a time-honored classic comedy. Must have been extremely difficult to try and please everybody, because you're going to have some people who say, well, you shouldn't touch it, because they are the crown jewels of comedy, and any kind of reproduction is going to be not as good. And of course you've got others who've got their own views about the way that they should go with these scripts, and I think he was very conscious to say that the thing they were looking for was the warmth of the series, and that struck a chord with me, certainly. Because all of the characters have got a real accessible warmth to them, and if they can mirror that on stage, then I think they'll have succeeded. That's exactly what Ed said. So I've almost said copied what he said word for word. But I really do hope they're able to achieve that. It sounds like they've got a really accomplished set of actors here, and I'll certainly be looking forward to it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling that even if Ed's actors are nothing like the original characters, even if they're nothing like them at all, I still think it probably would be a thoroughly enjoyable evening out.
I hope so. I mean, he did mention that the cast have a passing resemblance to the original characters, out of necessity, really, and I think that's good. That's good in a way. And as I said, I'm looking forward to, with people like Peter Martin Lizzie Grantham. His name went out of my head there for a second.
Yep.
And Brian Warwick. You know, they're very, very big name, very, very experienced actors. And I'll be very surprised if they don't turn in a really, really good performance. So they're probably Six of Death of Dad's Army if they're doing a lot of research. I wonder how much time they've spent actually watching the mannerisms of John Le Mesurier and Arthur Lowe. I mean, it's probably an excuse to sit there and watch series after series of Dad's Army, I would have thought. So, the next thing that is going to be in the public eye is the publicity of the cast in uniform. Now, Ed didn't indicate how quickly that's going to happen, but the opening night is in September, so I doubt if it'll be that long now before we see those pictures. And I reckon that that will generate another buzz in the media. I think people will be interested.
Can you buy tickets now?
Yes, you can. I've looked on a number of different theatres' websites, and again, if people want to go and have a look where these plays are being put on, have a look at Calibre's website. I mean, the link to that is on our own website. You can get onto the theatres. You can get onto the theatres directly from Calibre's website. So there's an intricate set of links there. But you can book tickets now, and I'm looking forward to going to see it. I'm going to see it, I think, on at least three occasions, and I'm going to be taking my recorder. So I will actually pick on individuals who have been have seen the show just after they're walking out, and ask them if they're willing to do an interview. So if you are going along to any of these productions, if you've booked your tickets already, send me an email, warmingtononc333@yahoo.co.uk, and if you'd like to arrange to meet to have an interview, then I'm sure we can work something out. Anything else, Tony, that you that struck you about this interview as really interesting?
Just very pleasant man, very confident sounding, and I think good luck to him.
Absolutely.
And all of the cast and everyone involved in it.
Indeed.
Well, that's the end of this special podcast, this special short podcast. We will be recording again Saturday, the 6th or 7th of June. Which one is it?
It's the 7th.
Saturday, the 7th of June, we'll record a new podcast and hopefully get it on the web on the same day.
Mm-hmm. We'll be discussing the battle for Godfrey's Cottage, that episode, and if you have any comments about that, or any comments about the interview that you just heard, or any of our previous podcasts, then please send us an email. Our email is warmingtononc333@yahoo.co.uk. One thing I will say briefly, Tony, I haven't discussed this with you yet, but despite us having quite a large number of listeners now, no one sent us an email. Not one email.
Right, we're definitely going to have to start making up the emails now.
I think we should do, yeah. Make it sound like people are actually sending us messages. No, so this is a call for emails. Please send us messages. Tell us what you think of the podcast. No comment is too small or too minor or too outrageous. Please send the messages in. And if they're really good comments, or even if they're just okay comments, you haven't got much competition at the moment, we'll get them on a future podcast. So just to remind you what our email address is, it's walmingtononc333@yahoo.co.uk. I think that just about wraps up this special podcast, Tony. So all that's left is to say thanks very much to Ed for participating and spending the time to be interviewed. And thanks to you, Tony. And we'll speak again soon.
Thank you.
But he comes home each evening and he's ready with his gun. So who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler, if you think old England's done?
What did you have tonight, sir? Walton Pie and Trinkle Tart.
Oh, yes, there is.
It was a real mill, wasn't it, sir?
Where did you get the treacle from, sir?
Well, it wasn't real treacle, really. It's just a new recipe that my wife's trying out.
Oh, yeah.
The pastry was made from potatoes, and the treacle was made from grated carrot and saccharine.
Oh. What did it taste like?
Oh, yeah, that's...